Father, we come in the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, what a privilege it is to come in that name to assemble. We assemble not unto ourselves, but unto you, the Lord our God. And we say, we are truly grateful. For it is not everywhere that people assemble that you choose to visit, but you have chosen, Lord, once again, to come to tabernacle with us under the covering of our fathers. We are grateful, Lord. So as we come to share this word and to receive it, we are acutely aware of the human limitations, of the human mind. I, in particular, Lord, I come to ask for fresh mercy. Mercy, Lord, to be a faithful steward of this word. Lord, as I, Lord, speak this word, I ask, Lord, for mercy. Lord, I strip myself of every confidence in my preparation, what I've prepared, what I know only. My confidence, Lord, is in your mercy to be a faithful steward of this word. Let there be a free flow from you through me to the people. Let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer to write your will and your word upon the hearts of the people. As I speak, Lord God, let the word go forth in power, in accuracy, in simplicity, in the love and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, to do an eternal, internal work in the hearts and lives of all the hearers present, myself included, and others who hear it remotely by electronic means, in the name of Jesus. And wherever this word goes in all the earth, your power and your spirit will back it up, causing men to be hearers and to be doers, and so be blessed in all that they do in the name of Jesus. I also ask, as I speak, you'll help me to be precise, to be concise, so I will not say anything unnecessary. Bring it forth out from the treasure of this marvelous word, things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in the name of Jesus. As I speak also, let your power and your presence fill the air, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, circumstantial and otherwise, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble and therefore submitted to your will, and our emotions, O Lord God, to be controlled and tempered even more by the precious fruit of the Spirit. I ask, Lord, to make me a pure chalice. Humble me. I humble myself, Lord God. Teach me fresh humility, so that this word will indeed be a blessing and a refreshing to all, but especially to my fathers. I acknowledge them, and I take upon me their mantles. Help me, Lord, to preach and to teach this word, Lord God. Lord, in the way they would have done, were they here also, so that, Lord, as they drink of this vine that they have planted, they will be tremendously satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you, Father, because you are faithful who has promised. Your word will not return void. You will not lie to David. Let your kingdom come and your will be done as in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. And like we said, the book of Acts is a foreshadow of what we are expecting in this season of the manifestation of the glory, in this day of the glory of the latter house. We look at the book of Acts and we see things that happen there, and we understand and we see patterns as to what we can expect. And we've been in the book for some time. In our last study, we examined the conclusion of Stephen's defense before the Sanhedrin. And we saw that in closing his defense, the tone of his submission changed. He began by the Spirit. It was the Spirit of God that prompted him to begin to rebuke, as it were, the Sanhedrin and all their fathers, accusing them of killing them, the fathers that God has sent to them, being stiff-necked, uncircumcised, resisting the Holy Ghost, betraying the Lord Jesus Christ and murdering the Lord Jesus Christ. All this he was speaking by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost came mightily upon him, and we said that sometimes this happens very much in the prophetic word and prophetic ministry in particular. You know, we see that in this house, mommy, we're talking and everything's going fine, and all of a sudden the atmosphere just changes, and she begins to speak and declare, and then once the anointing is lifted, she's back to what she was doing before. We also said it happens in the Messianic Psalms, particularly the Psalms of David, when he begins to give prophetic word in the middle of his Psalms. That's why praise and worship is so powerful, because in praise and worship, God can interject himself in. That says he inhabits the praises. And so we see sometimes it happens in the Messianic Psalms. We give the example of Psalms 22 and Psalms 88 verse 5. You know, there's some things there that were said that no meaning to David at that particular time, but in the light of prophetic purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ, it had a great meaning. So this is what Stephen did, and the reaction was fierce and intense. The Bible says when they heard this, we are cut to the heart. And they grabbed Stephen with all the people that were there. It wasn't just the Sanhedrin. There were other people there that were helping them, lay people. They dragged him out of the city and they stoned him. Amen. And we said they tried to do the same thing to the Lord Jesus Christ at Nazareth. But the difference was, in the case of the Lord Jesus, they weren't able to do it. But in Stephen's case, sadly, they were able to accomplish their purpose. Now, we said, what's the difference? This difference is very simple. The spiritual maturity and the anointing upon both of them was different. We compared the fact that Stephen was still a spiritual child. He was still a baby. He had just gotten born, you know, the Spirit had just come 50 days before. Some time before, and he was still a baby. He could not have developed into spiritual maturity. And then the anointing upon him was the anointing, the borrowed anointing that was upon the Lord Jesus, which all of them were using at that time, simply because there was no time between Pentecost and the time that this happened for them to grow up to inherit the anointing. So it was a question of spiritual immaturity and the borrowed anointing versus the Lord Jesus Christ, who had grown and had inherited the Spirit without measure. They couldn't do anything against him. Amen. They couldn't touch him. He just walked through the midst of them. What happened? The anointing. And then, hallelujah. And then of spiritual maturity. And we say, you cannot, in this issue where we're going today, you cannot overlook the issue of maturity, spiritual maturity, and the measure of the anointing. That's why we need the Spirit without measure. Tell somebody, say amen. There's some place you cannot go without the Spirit without measure. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we emphasize the fact, very, very much indeed, just so that it will stick in our minds, that once the Sanhedrin and their helpers succeeded in killing Stephen, it is not God's perfect will for him to have died. It is always God's perfect will for us to live long, fruitful lives and to inherit the fullness of our destiny in Christ Jesus, the anointing without measure. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to knowledge of the truth. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, it says that the thoughts that God thinks towards us are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring us to an expected end. God even goes to great lengths to save the wicked. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Amen. Nothing. Death does not glorify God. What glorifies him is living. Life, amen? Because he's the God of life. In the original creation, death was not even, it was not even thought of. It was not, there was no issue of death or Adam dying until he sinned. So death is completely antithetical to what God is. Amen? So this is it. And we now said from Psalms 91 verse 16, we gave that as a key verse, that verse says, with long life will God satisfy you and show you his, it actually says him, but it's talking about us. We are the subject of him. So show us his salvation. Pastor, remember, preached that until you see his salvation, you will not die. Amen? Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Yes, so the enemy will be allowed to come in. Because God needs a legal basis in order to incarcerate Satan and all of his cohorts in hell forever. But what God expects us to do is to overcome that affliction, to overcome that attack, and that's what really brings God glory. We gave the example of the Hebrew children in Daniel chapter 3, who when they went to the fire, they came out. And God changed his word and decreed that anybody that does not serve the God of Israel will make his house a dunghill. Anybody that speaks a word against the God of Israel. Same with Daniel. When he came out of lion's den, the Lord made another, the king made another decree. And this is what glorifies God. When people see the devil come in, but the Lord, Holy Spirit, raising a standard of spirit against him, giving you victory in every attack, they begin to give glory to God and begin to take notice. Amen? And we said, for all this to happen, there are conditions we must fulfill, encapsulated in the marvelous scripture in Psalms 91 verse 1. Put that on the board. Psalms 91 verse 1. Let's see it. Psalms 91 verse 1. Okay, I'll just quote it. It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where the divine protection is. Amen? The secret place of the Most High is the place of prayer, the place of the Word, the place of fellowship with the Spirit, with the right attitude of humility and submission to spiritual oversight. Say amen, somebody. Uh-huh. And And that's very critical. Particularly in this day, the Bible says that a man shall be as a covering. A man shall be as a hiding place. A man, a corporate man in some cases, you know, because the Bible says we look unto Abraham and Sarah. But the essence is we must be under covering to abide in this secret place of the Most High. Amen. It's not something you go out and do by yourself. Amen. We say it's very, very important. And we brought out from Psalms 91 verse 12, very important. Please go there. Psalms 91 12, verse 12. Say, they be in... Who? The people that God has given charge of you. Let's go back one verse. Yeah, this is it. It says, for he, who is he? God, shall give his angels. Who are his angels? Now, wait before I answer. Before you answer. The angels are not just the heavenly beings that excel in strength. Hello, somebody. There are angels given charge over every Christian. You have a complete legion of angels like the Lord Jesus. Amen. But he's not talking about these only. They're there. But he's talking about the angels over the churches that he has put you under. For example, there's an angel of the church of Scripture, Pastor. We see that in Revelation chapter 1, chapter 2, where it talks about the angel of the church of Ephesus. To stay unto the angel of the church of Smyrna. Stay unto the angel of the church at Philadelphia. Those are the angels. He's talking about men whose spirits have been enlarged, out of whom the power of God comes to give covering and a place of refuge to all those that God has given them. And notice, you are given to them. You are not here by chance. Let me not get off on that. Anyway, but the essence is, these heavenly angels and these physical angels are the ones that provide a place of covering. It says, they bear us in their hands. Oh, sorry, we changed it. So that you do not dash your foot against a stone. What does that mean? It means that when you begin to operate revelation, you will not stumble through disobedience. We saw that in 1 Peter. Amen? That talks about those who stumble because of disobedience. When you dash your foot, you will not dash your foot again. Amen? But the essence is, we need to obey them. Humble ourselves and obey their instructions so that what God has provided for us through them will come to us and keep us safe, so we'll inherit and live a long life and inherit the promise. Amen. So we said Stephen's death by the Sanhedrin was moved by Satan. And it shows that there will always be opposition. Satan will always try to devour the precious seed. We brought that out from Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 through 5. Where we saw that when God is moving, the Bible talks about the woman clothed with the sun. Amen. Since a wonder heaven, clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Next verse. Hello, somebody. Next verse. And she being with child, cried travailing birth. This is a picture of the church that gives birth to the man-child company. Next verse. And there appeared another one, the great red dragon. God said, be wary of red. Next verse. Anyway, go next. Yes. And his tail threw the third part of the heavens, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. That dragon, of course, we know represents Satan. Amen. He says he stood before the woman, that's the church, that was ready to be delivered to devour the child as soon as he was born. That's Satan's pattern. He seeks to destroy. Bible says he searches to destroy the precious seed. Amen. But thank God. Next verse. Hallelujah. Says she brought forth a man-child. She brought forth that who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was what? Caught up to God and to his throne. That's what's happening. Hello? Hello? This is the wrath that Satan is going to unleash, but thank God he's going to fail. We already have the Bible saying we're going to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, not loving our lives until death, but we have to be caught up to his throne. That means you have to grow up into spiritual maturity, amen? And inherit your throne, oh God, that is forever and ever. Oh, let me not get off on that. So this is it. So this is what the devil tried to do. He tried it with Jesus, tried it with Moses, he tried it with Stephen in the early church. Sadly, he succeeded there. And he's going to come and try us too, amen? God will not stick, he's not going to hinder us. But the essence is this, God will always give us the victory as we stay in the place of covering, as we grow up and get caught up to God's throne in Jesus' name. Now we said, let's close quickly, that there was a several events marked the death of Stephen, the stoning death. So many things happened, but there were several events that were critical and were, you know, marked it. First of all, there was an open vision in real time. Now, an open vision is not something you have every day. As a matter of fact, an open vision is the highest of all the visions. I didn't say this the last time. There's a spiritual vision like the Paul had on the road to Damascus, where he saw Jesus and saw the light in his heart. All the other people around him didn't see anything. They just, you know, knew something was going on. Then there's a trance, which is what happened to Peter. Peter, when he was waiting on the Lord in Joppa, when he saw the sheet come down from heaven, it was a trance. All his physical senses were suspended. All he could see was that big sheet full of animals. And God said, "Rise, kill and eat." And we all know Peter. Amen. But this is an open vision. This was in real time. He was seeing the people around. He was hearing everything. And yet he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Saw the Lord, the tangible presence of the glory. Yes, we saw Stephen was seeing. What he was seeing spiritually made him lose the fear of death. There is nowhere in that account where he said Stephen was afraid. He was too enthralled with what he was seeing. You know, he would say, "What do you see? What do you see that will make you lose the fear of death? What do you see that will make you decide that no matter what, you are pressing on with God?" Hello, somebody. Bible says, perfect love. God's without fear. His love for Jesus that he was seeing was greater than any fear God the devil could bring. Amen. Well, we saw this. And then we said Stephen was, he died praying to God. Amen. Asking God, just like the Lord. No one Jesus was standing giving an ovation. Just like the Lord Jesus said, "Receive my spirit." Amen. And then the most important thing was he forgave all his murderers. Just like the Lord Jesus again. Amen. So after, I mean, Jesus was like, "Wow, this is my son in whom I am well pleased." Amen. So, you know, he asked for forgiveness. And we said the most important aspect of that was the fact that one of those people was Saul, who would later become Paul. We'll talk a little bit more about him today. Amen. So by releasing Paul from blood guiltiness, he gave Paul access. You know, the Bible, God had given them some time ago the power to remit sins, just like we all have. You know, we've been talking about that recently. He remitted the sins of Paul. So Paul now had access to the life of God and the mercy of God to bring him out of his present situation where he was against the will of God and to make him into one of the mightiest apostles ever to walk the earth because somebody forgave him. That's the power of forgiveness. We said that's significant. Amen. Amen. And so we saw he released this young man. Amen. The Bible says that if any man sees a man sin unto death, ask life. If you see a brother sin unto death, ask life. Forgive him. Release him. Don't hold him. Amen. God has given you the power to release people from their sins. Use it. Amen. And then we now said that this is very important because we should, the Bible says we can learn from this releasing people from sin and letting God minister unto them. And we also saw from the Apostle John that we can and should keep ourselves so much so that the wicked one cannot touch us. Not will not try, but he cannot. 1 John 5:18, quickly, as we close. 1 John 5:18, just two verses down. We know that whosoever is born of God, how many people are born of God here? Sinneth not. Now, that means sinneth not as a habit. Amen. But he that is begotten of God, this is a promise. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and let's read it together. That wicked one touches him not. Amen. So we can like Jesus. Like Jesus said in John 10, he said, "I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up again." It says, "This commandment God has given me." And guess what? You have the same commandment. That's where you're going, folks. So you can keep yourself in the love of God so that no man, no devil, that force field of life will avail for all of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Invincible to the enemy. The enemy will not be able to touch us. Okay. Now let's go to Acts chapter 8. All this thing that happened to Stephen had a corresponding result. Acts chapter 8 verse 1. Let's go. Are we in Acts 8 verse 1? Shall we read together, please? Are we all together? Can I hear you? Amen. All right, let's go. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. We'll come back to that. Next verse. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a small lamentation. A great lamentation over him. That's also significant. Let's go. Next verse. Let's see. Next verse. Thank you. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. God is grateful. Entering into every house and hailing men and women and committing them to prison. If I was throwing men and women into prison. Next verse. God is great. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Next verse. Then, okay, let's stop there for now. See how far God help us. There's quite a lot here. Now, this is it. Here we see the results spearheaded by Saul. Hello? Saul was a spearhead of this persecution. Can you imagine? Saul. This is how St. Paul. Spearheading this persecution of the church. And causing men and women to be cast into prison. And not only that, he was complicit in the death of Stephen. A man full of faith and wisdom. Folks, God is good, though. I'll say it again. From Saul to Paul, only God. That should give us all hope. Amen. You're not even Saul. God is good. You're going to make it in Jesus' name. So, but let me ask a question. Why was this great persecution and affliction? The Bible tells it in very, very clearly in Mark chapter 4, verse 17. It says, let's read it. Mark 4, 17. It says, affliction, Mark 4, 17, and have no root in themselves, so endure but a time. For afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises, what? For the word's sake, immediately are offended. Now what does he say? He says that the sower soweth the word. And when that word is sown, there are certain people who, because they have no root in them, they endure. But afterwards, affliction and persecution. So affliction and persecution arose because the word was being preached. The word was going forth. There was something happening in Jerusalem. And there was like, what? I gotta do something. What was going on in Jerusalem? Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Acts 5.42. I want to put some scripture behind it. Acts 5. You have to be fast though. Acts 5.42. Thank you. And daily in the temple and in every house. Can you imagine? This wasn't church that you come on Tuesday and Wednesday. So I say, wow. You're still coming on Tuesday, Wednesday. Every day. Hello, somebody. Every blessed day, Monday through Sunday. You in church? Hallelujah. Shades of glory. And this is the glory of a former household. Okay, all right. Let me just throw that in there. Yeah, so it says they were going from house to house. Give me Acts chapter 6, verse 5. Preaching Jesus Christ. Acts 6, verse 5. Said the mother of said, Acts chapter 6, where it said the apostles were giving themselves continued prayer and the ministry of the word. Next verse, I think, 6, verse 6. Next verse. Where it says, was it 6:4? Where it says the apostles were giving themselves continually to prayer. Let me check that out. Yes, verse 4. Yes, verse 4. Thank you. Very colorful verse. It says, but we, who are we, the apostles, will give ourselves continually to what? Prayer and to the ministry of the word. This was the powerhouse of the revival. Prayer and the ministry of the word. They didn't forget what they were doing in the upper room. Unity in one accord that brought the glory. They continued in prayer and in the ministry of the word. Amen. So the word was being sown daily, everywhere. And the Bible says in Acts chapter, where was it now? Says the first people that got born in were 3,000 souls. Multitudes were being saved. Multitudes were being filled with the Spirit. Amen. Souls were being added to the Lord daily. This is revival, folks. Even Ananias' and Sapphira's death could not hinder revival. In fact, it increased. The Bible says men were even more added. Give me Acts 5 verse 14 quickly. Acts 5. We're setting the template of what was going on. And the devil had to respond. He said, believers were more added to the Lord. Multitudes. Multitudes. The Bible doesn't use words like we do. Multitudes both of men and women added to the Lord. Amen. The Bible also says in Acts 4:33 that the apostles were giving great witness of the resurrection of the Lord. Diverse miracles, diverse testimonies. Amen. The Bible said with great power, the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord and great grace was upon them all. In other words, what is it? There's only one thing that compares to this. The revival that the Lord Jesus Christ sparked off when he came back from Galilee from the temptation in the power of the Spirit. That's the only thing that rivals this. Amen? But I said they brought people from all over the regions round about. Amen? And this one, they said Peter's shadow was hitting people on the street. They just laid them on the streets. This was what I know. A runaway revival. Hello? A nightmare for Satan. Hello, somebody. This is what's coming on. And greater. It was a nightmare. It was a bomati belly. What's happening here? These people have gone, oh, I must do something. First of all, he tried to kill the apostles. Failed twice. And he said, okay, I'll try somebody else. And so he succeeded with the death of Stephen. Now, the death of Stephen must have shaken many. That's why I read earlier. It said they made a great lamentation, which is that many people were like, ha, what happened? And this is what finally precipitated the scattering of the church throughout Judea and Samaria, Acts 8:1. Now, what does this say to us? The only word I have is God is in full control. God is in, tell your neighbor, God is in control. Don't be afraid of the devil. He's in full control. While Satan was using persecution and affliction to stop the revival, or to hinder, he can't stop it anyway, to hinder the revival, to try to hinder the revival, God was allowing the same persecution and affliction and using it to advance his gospel. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Brethren, God is in control and he rules in the affairs of men. What God meant for evil, what Satan, sorry, meant for evil, God turned around to fulfill his purpose. Amen. Can you imagine using Satan to advance the kingdom? Only God can do that. That's the God we're serving. Give me Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hello, somebody. There's revival in the air, folks. Proverbs 21, 30. Come on. 21, 30. 30. Thank you. Let's read it together. There is no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel against the Lord. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. There is no wisdom. Where is the wisdom coming from? He says, I am wisdom. Where is the counsel going to come from? In he is all counsel. Where is understanding? He is understanding. Give me Proverbs. Let me put a scripture behind that. 8:14. Proverbs 8:14. Quickly. Hallelujah, somebody. Proverbs 8:14. Counsel is mine. This is Lord Jesus. Wisdom speaking. Counsel is mine. Sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. So where is Satan going to begin? Hallelujah. So when anything brings affliction, we need to just relax. God is in control. Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. There's something God is trying to allow that for, to achieve. Bible says, we should count it all joy when we fall into diverse trials and temptations, knowing that the trying of the faith worketh patience. So when we let patience have her perfect work, ultimately, you'll be entire, perfect, wanting nothing. Bible says, if God be for us, give me that scripture, it's in Romans chapter 8 somewhere, quickly. If God be for us, Oh, 8:31. Romans 8:31. Thank you. So what shall we say to these things? What things? All the things of tribulation and anguish. All the things that, you know, God says, if God be for us, who can be? Hey, you know, talotobe. Ha ha, glory to God. Folks, there's revival in the air. Hashikoro makaya. Who can be for us? Next verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered up him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Glory to God. Hallelujah. The enemy will be allowed to come in, but God will use him. He will raise a standard and use him in your life to perfect you. You are a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Because Christ loves us. Amen. Okay, back to Acts. We haven't even left chapter 1. Okay, Acts chapter 8. Help the Lord. So, Satan was bringing his great affliction. God was allowing it to be used. Why? Because they were not fulfilling God's mandate. Hello, somebody. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. What mandate? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is God's mandate to them. The Lord Jesus Christ's words expressly. And you shall be witnesses unto me where? Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Hello? This was the commission. This was the assignment. But this was years later. And the apostles and the early church were having a party. They were enjoying themselves. They were still in Jerusalem. They hadn't even gone into Judea yet. Talk lots of the utmost parts of the earth. And they were doing what many people have been doing it since. They're still trying to do it. Doing what? They're trying to corner God for themselves. What a great product. Wow. Look at all these miracles. Wow. Man, we are. And it's true. They were blessed. But they were just the first of the first fruits. They were not supposed to sit on it. They tried to corner God for themselves alone. I remember Papa Ralph said it so clear. I never forgotten. He said, whenever you try and corner God and put him in your corner, God just steps out. And he goes somewhere else. And he starts a new thing. And that's what happened here. The gospel was supposed to go out of Jerusalem. It was beginning in Jerusalem. But it was not supposed to remain there. It was supposed to go to Judea. It was supposed to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so when it didn't happen, when they didn't do it, God waited and waited. And it was years and said, God said, hey, I got to get this thing moving. And that's why he allowed the affliction. That's why he allowed the persecution to scatter them. Amen? I believe the Lord spoke to me and says, when revival comes, it must keep advancing forcefully. Give me Matthew 11. Thank you. Matthew 11. Verse 12 thereabouts, I think. Talks about the kingdom of God. Yeah, this is it. Give this in the NIV. Thank you. NIV. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been what? Forcefully, that's the word I want to bring up. Forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold on it. Forcefully advancing, not timidly. You take the kingdom and you go out in force. The power of the Spirit, I'm talking about physical things here. Talking about the power of the Spirit. But there must be a mentality of constantly advancing. Amen? God forbid any failure to do this, to try and corner it and keep it in one place and say, this is our own, keep going around the same mountain. That's why God said, you've gone around this mountain long enough. Turn you north. Move out. Get up and move. Or it will just stutter and it will peter out. Hello? And what's going to remain will be what they call a religious denomination. That's the empty shell of what was once revival. That will not happen, Jesus said. And folks, through the history is littered with denominations. People have tried to corner God for themselves. I don't want to mention any names. Amen? Littered with all kinds of things, all kinds of ways that began in the fire of revival. But somehow they tried to keep it for themselves. They didn't move advance. They tried to, shape God to their own ideas. And God just steps out. And all they have is an empty shell. And people in there don't even know it for a long time. But thank God. God is faithful, you see. God is gracious. God is good. Give God a clap offering. You know, God is sending back his trained people, and he's sending back people into those denominations to fire up revival again. So many of these denominations now have spirit-filled, born-again, tongue-talking Christians who will blast, who are taking off, amen? And they're carrying the denominations with them. Some of them are in the leadership. So there's a change going, a sea change is going on even in the denominations as we speak. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. Hallelujah! I want to thank God for the fathers of this house. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We have a godly, goodly heritage. I want to thank God. Yes, give the Lord a clap offering. Hello, somebody. Their passion is to do exactly this. The kingdom of God must keep moving. There's always something new. God never stagnates. Hello? And their ministry is exactly a proof of that. It was Brother William. Hang on for Brother Williams. He was talking the other day when we passed that moment. I think it was Mom. And he said, I know your ministry, Mom. You know, your ministry is one that you do something, you build it up, you build up men, and you put them there, and you establish it, put men, commit it to men, and move on to the next thing. Pioneering. Thank you. God bless you. That's the word, Pastor Wally. Pioneering ministry. You pioneer something, build up men, commit it to them, and move out. Start another work. Pioneer. Build up men. Commit it to them. Move out. That's why we don't build cathedrals. Thank God for cathedrals. If you want to build a cathedral, I'm not saying anything. But in this household, you build men. They build men. They build men of character. Men who are faithful. Men who have been proven and tested. And they are the ones that will spearhead everything that, that God is doing in this house. Amen? Always looking for the next generation. Hallelujah. And we're seeing the fruits. A new generation has arisen in our midst. Right before our very eyes. Give the Lord a clap offering. But this is it. This is how it works. This is how the kingdom of God will continue to forcefully advance. Build men, not cathedrals. Hallelujah. Now, thank God. As we're building men, we also build in the church. Amen. But the essence is this. This Zion City Fellowship that God has started through us. It's going to be a mighty war. I see it going far beyond here. It's going to be a worldwide thing. You know that scripture in Isaiah chapter 2, it says that the nations, how many nations can you put inside this church? You can't even put 500,000 people in this church. He's talking about in the air. It says the mountain of the Lord shall be exalted above every other. He's talking about in the air. It's going to be an internet air kind of thing. Their reach will be far beyond these borders. It's just started. This is just the kernel. This is just the beginning, the roots. It's going to spread way all the way beyond. But even then, you still have to build men. Psalms 127 says we build arrows. Said, you know, they say, blessed is the man who has his quiver full of arrows. They will speak to the enemies in the gate. They will speak. They will also go and speak. They will also declare from where they will speak man to man to the enemy. Hello, somebody. Get out of your comfort zone, folks. Go back to Acts chapter 8. Amen. Everybody say, you will go. You have to go. Don't let's get too comfortable. Revival is coming. Can you imagine? Even in the Acts of the Apostles, there was so much activity. There was so much going on. Sometimes, you know, even Jesus, when he did no ministry, they didn't have time to eat. You will eat in Jesus' name. But see, eating will not be your priority. Your priority will be to go out. Bible says, after the glory, God will send you. So all we're waiting was the manifestation. Be released just to manifest. Once it manifests, we are ready to go, are we? Everybody answered. Don't let God come and kick you out by persecution and affliction. Hello? That's what he did here. Don't let God come and... And you say, oh, okay, I'm ready to go. No, I'm ready to go. No. Say, Lord. Say it. Lord. Here I am. Send me. In this day of your power, I will be willing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hello? Don't say to the angel was an arrow. God heard your voice. All right. Help me, Lord. And the Lord also showed. Let's go back to chapter 8, verse 1 now. We're still in verse 1. Help me, Lord. Say, the Lord showed me also that there are mighty benefits for those who God uses to spearhead his move upon the earth, evangelism. And he gave me three moves. The three moves relating to the sons of Noah. There's a move for the sons of Noah from his son called Shem. Then Japheth and now Ham. Shem, that one was led by Israel. Amen. The Bible says Israel, to whom belongeth the adoption, the glory, the prophets, the giving of the law, the covenants, by whom Christ came according to the flesh, the root that bears up all the other branches. God sent them out. A small nation, but a great nation. And folks, whether you believe it or not, Israel today is still one of the greatest nations on the face of the earth. Don't look at number. It's not number. It's covenant. The covenant with their fathers is being fulfilled. Hello, somebody. And the word, we can't go there because of time. Go check it out. There was a battle called Aphek. There was a battle at Aphek in 2 Kings or 1 Kings, where the Bible says the host of the Syrians and 30 kings were set in array against the Israel. And said, in that valley, Israel was like just two small flocks of sheep. But God delivered the entire Syrian army and all the kings into Israel's hand. It's not number. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there will be victory. And that's what happened in Israel. Israel today... I read it once, I think it was Pastor Laulu, he did the research for me. 25% of Nobel Prizes for 0.03% of the world's population. Now that's disproportionate. That can only be God. Hello? And if you go anywhere, any business, any you know, part of business economy, every sector, whether it's banking, entertainment, whether it's sports, anything business, just go to New York City. New York City belongs to them. Hello? I won't tell you what they call it, but it belongs to them. That's the most expensive piece of real estate in the world. And it belongs to God's covenant people. What you gonna do about it? Nothing. Israel. Hello, somebody. Everything, practically every aspect of business is dominated by Jews. Google. Tell me, Jew. Say Jew. Zuckerberg. Thank you. Vice President, thank you. 21. I mean, look at all these numbers. I'm not going to go through it because of time, but this is what I'm saying. Amen. Hello, somebody. Then the movement of Japheth. Japheth, the movement of Japheth among the Caucasians and northern Western European countries was supposed to have started in Germany when the Protestant movement started through Martin Luther, who said the just shall live by faith. But they rejected it. And God stepped up. And guess where he went? He went to England. And gradually, over time, that stepping out began the revival, the Methodist revival. And it was through that revival, right in the kingdom of the time of the Queen Victoria, that Britain, that's why they call it Great Britain, Britain colonized most of the world we know today. The Bible says the sun, not the Bible, there was a saying that says, sun does not set on the British Empire. Somewhere in the British Empire, the sun is always rising. 24/7 every day. Who did that? God. But there's a reason. Now, the colonists will say they wanted to exploit mineral resources. Yes, there was a profit motive. God will give you a motive. God is a God of profit, you know. He says, I'm the Lord that leadeth thee to profit and teaches you how to go. But behind that thing was the missionaries that came. God sent forth his word as they were going to look for profit. God was going to look for souls. And the whole structure of the economy was geared towards taking missionaries with them wherever they went. They would build schools. They would build churches. They would preach the gospel. They became the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And Britain is still great. You know why? Because God is sending revival back. Don't look at the door. It's not numbers, but commitment. They are blessed for their fathers. Now, transfer that to the United States. I'm making a point. Folks, we are set up by God for great things. Charles, from Britain, they went to USA to look for God and to worship God. And look at the United States today. Can't be anything less than 80-90% of all evangelical work, support, you know, gospel missions, giving money for the gospel worldwide is sponsored through churches in the United States. Which is the greatest, most powerful nation on the face of the earth? The United States of America. Give the Lord a clap offering. They went looking for God. On their currency says, in God we trust. Forget what's going on. They're beloved for their father's sake. God has a covenant with those people. Amen? Hello, somebody. The greatest nation. Others are not even close. They just make you noise. America is just taking it easy for them. That's what you should do if you're big anyway. But the revival is coming back into America. And now, tell your neighbor now. 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 The songs of hand from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, beginning where the rivers divide. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. There's revival in the air, folks. There's revival in the air, folks. God is fixing to make Nigeria great. Spearhead. That's what the Zion Fellowship is all about. The spears are being shaped and sharpened. Arrowheads are being shaped and sharpened. And they will go forth and speak with the enemies in the gates of hell. Glory to God. That's it, folks. Folks, 2 out of every 5 people on the face that have black faces are Nigerian. 2 out of 8, it could have changed though because you invited to grow. You know, Nigeria is always expanding. They know how we do it, but God does it. It's a purpose. 2 out of 5 are black people in the earth are Nigerians. And they are everywhere in the world. Everywhere! The time I heard that the owner of one of the biggest hotels in Reykjavik is Iceland. Niger in Iceland. Omo Bajon. I said, sure. How did he get there? The Lord sent him. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Wherever Nigerians go, and thank God for Nigeria. Wherever they go, they take their churches home. Ah, have you ever seen? I've never seen. I've seen people have told me, say, in winter, you see people with their church, no shoes. They're going to church on Sunday. You know, snow. I mean, today it makes sense. But what I'm saying is, they go to their churches, they take their gospel. I even read an article that one of the present prime minister of Britain went to one of the churches of Nigeria to come and say, vote for me. Hello, somebody. What am I saying? Everywhere they go, Nigeria established churches. They evangelize. We see it in Ukraine. We see it in Russia, in Britain, United States, everywhere. And guess what? When this glory hits, we're going to be unstoppable. We're going to all the earth. It will start here, but it will not remain here. Because those arrows are going to be going forth to the ends of the earth. And then there will be the satellite that will be bombarding the airways. They will hear and they will see. Glory to God. But the result is that Nigeria will now have praise and fame in every land. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 10, if you don't believe me. Hallelujah. Zephaniah 3:10. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're saying something. There's revival in the air, folks. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supplies, even the dwarf of my defense, shall bring mine offering. That offering, we understand, is the first of the first fruits of the glory of God. Now give me verse 19 of the same chapter. Verse 19. Hello, somebody. Are we getting something from this? Verse 19. Behold, at that time, what time? This time. I, God, will undo all that afflict thee, Nigeria. And I will save her that halted, and gather her that was driven up. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Hallelujah. This is our mandate. This is God's word to Nigeria. Give me the next verse too. Hallelujah. He repeats it. At that time, what time? Now, in this day of the manifestation of the Lord, I will bring you again. Even in the time that I gather you. Oh, Lord have mercy. And then, for I will make you, I will make you, Nigeria, a name and a praise among some of the people. All the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your very eyes. Who said it? Who said it? Who said it? And his word will not return void. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the same pattern. Japheth, Shem, and now Ham. Same pattern. Spearhead. The last shall become first. Folks, this is a great time. I want to close. I have to close. Now, there's a promise I want to leave us. Two more scriptures. Give me Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Glory to God. Help us, Lord. And they that be wise, this is the Lord speaking through Daniel the prophet, talking about the end time. What's going to happen in the end time? He asked, what's going to happen in the end time? God said, just seal everything up and look what's going to happen. It says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament of the sky. So if you're wise, you're going to shine like the sky. But look what he says. And they that turn, one or two, many, to righteousness will shine as the stars once in a while, forever and ever. Glory to God. Hello, you know when you see the sky is there. But it says the stars, you know, there'll be pockets of abundant incandescent lights in God's firmament. This one turned into righteousness. Ah, this one did a great work of evangelism. Ah, this one, ah, when he was sent from to Afghanistan, multitudes were swept in. Somebody doesn't want to go to Afghanistan. You go. We will go. Say, I will go. I will go. I will not be left behind. Oh, and you know, like I said, it's a church of the airwaves. But God leaves us in absolutely no doubt that we're going to have boots on the ground. In army parlance, you're an army, you know. Boots on the ground. We'll close with this scripture. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Hallelujah, somebody. How many want to shine as the stars forever? And that's a glorious promise. So, we need boots on the ground. Now, check this out. How beautiful upon the mountains are the internet postings, are the WhatsApp messages. Thank God for WhatsApp. Thank God for internet. Send the boots. Where do you put boots on? As I said, boots on the ground. That's what we need, folks. Parts of what we need. It says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. That says to Zion, look what the reference to Zion. The reference is to Zion. Glory to God. I tell you, folks, we're on the cusp of a mighty album. Give me some amplifier. Let's see what it says. Hallelujah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings. What's good tidings? The gospel of the kingdom. Good tidings. Who publishes peace, who brings good tidings of good and publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Hello, somebody. Tell your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. After the glory. After the glory. I will go. Oh Lord, send me. Say not to the angel, it was an error. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Folks, there's revival in the air. It's a tangible thing now. The day is close. We'll continue. We'll continue. Hallelujah. Next week. Let's talk to the Lord. I believe all that God has said to us today is to spur us up to take cognizance of what is happening now. God, first of all, is faithful. Everything in your life is going to turn around for good. Doesn't matter the affliction or persecution. God will turn it around. And that's so that you can have confidence that no matter what comes against you, he's in control. You know what he did for the people in Jerusalem, amen? Turning the advancement of Satan into the advancement of his kingdom. Telling you that he's in control. He rules in the affairs of men. So don't be afraid. Don't worry. I will bring you to that expected end. Hallelujah. To be conformed to him in Jesus. And then, the witness of the season we're in. The time of revival. Glory to God. God is preparing us to arise. He's preparing that exceeding great army. And we are part. Not only are we a part, by the gracefulness of God, we are an arrowhead through our youths that are beginning to come forth. Oh, glory to God. Like the dew of the morning. So what do? We prepare ourselves. Prepare. Continue to use the blood, the power of the word, the spirit, the word and the spirit, and the blood of Jesus. Purify, cleanse ourselves. Remain humble, undercover, in unity with everyone, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit under the covering of the Father's, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then we'll see that glory made manifest. And there's going to be a new day, a new season, a new time for us, the sons of Ham. Oh, glory. Send us, Lord. Send us, Lord. Send revival, send revival, send revival to us.
Send revival,
send revival, send revival, send revival to us. Heaven changing earth, touching heaven, changing earth.
Hallelujah! Come on!
Send revival.
Hallelujah!
Send revival.
Oh, send us revival, Lord.
Send revival to us.
Revival.
Revival. This morning, I want us all to speak to the Lord. We need to speak to the Lord to make this commitment. I understand you've done it before, but now the reality is even closer. The Bible says, now is the day of salvation closer than when we first believed. Now, the Lord will have each one of us in our own hearts. Talk to him in your heart. Make the commitment. The Bible says, after the glory, are you prepared? Are you preparing? You may not be fully prepared, but you should be prepared. To change the earth, we must first of all touch heaven. Prayer, unity, the power of the Spirit, oneness, undercover, humility of heart, all these things to perfect us, perfect the character of Christ, so we can demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God and show Christ to the nations. They're looking for God in us. We need to commit to this in our hearts personally, and then we'll pray together and close. Hallelujah. Let's talk to the Lord. Tell the Lord, Lord, I thank you for this season of revival that has come. I'm asking, Lord, for mercy to be faithful in using the blood, the word, and the spirit to prepare my vessel, my soul, mind, and emotions so that your light will be manifest in my soul, in my physical body, and I will perfect that love of Christ so I will manifest Christ to all the earth. Send me, Lord, as an arrowhead in this day of your power, in this day of your showing, I am willing. I speak to the Lord. And put a hand upon your heart and I stretch your hand unto the Lord and say, Father, I thank you for your word that has come this morning, reminding me and giving me a further understanding. Now the season, the day of revival is upon us in this house and in your church from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. I want to say thank you for the witness that we have already in our youth in this house. You are bringing forth as arrowheads, preparing them to go forth and to speak to the enemies in the gates of hell. Thank you for your mercy upon us in this house. I understand that in this day I am to prepare myself so I'll be ready and willing to leave my comfort zone and to go into the nations as you send me as your glory appears. And so I thank you, Lord. I covenant with you, Lord God. And you help me, Lord God, to stay in the upper room of prayer, the place of the prayer and the word, the place of unity, endeavoring always to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, humbling myself, learning of the meekness and the lowliness of Christ, and remain under covering and in submission to my spiritual fathers. So in this day of your power, as a willing volunteer, you will find me faithful, and you send me forth as a rod of your strength to go forth in this day to turn many unto righteousness and bring them into the kingdom. I thank you for the great privilege you have shown unto me in making me a part of this move upon the earth. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my life in this regard. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in the spirit. In Jesus' name, here I am, Lord. Say it, here I am, Lord. Send me in Jesus' name.
Lifting up the name of the Lord.